Welcome home, everybody, to episode 43 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's episode is a podcast syndication of our live show held on October 6th, 2019. You can check us out at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, youtube.com/MyDVC Points. If you could, head over to YouTube, like and subscribe to our channels. We'd love to have you come join us. Also, as an administrative heads up, we'd love to have you join us on a listener cruise meetup that's happening on August the 10th, the Disney Dream out of Port Canaveral. Or if you really want to start planning ahead of time, June of 2021, we've already got about 6 or 7 families that are signed up to come to a MyDVC Points community meetup at Aulani. We'd love to have you there as well.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Livia,
Boardwalk,
Aulani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Hopper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Well, welcome home, everybody. And welcome to the live on October 6th, 2019. Tonight, we have a really good show lined up for you. And DVC Resale Market will be joining us. And I want to thank them. They sponsor my show, my podcast, along with Vacation Club Loans. And if you're looking for a contract to buy or sell, head on over to DVCResaleMarket.com. Marissa is an agent here. She would be love to help you. And then if you need financing on that as well, Vacation Club Loans offers competitive rates on new purchases when you buy your contract. And they've been killing it on refining for my existing listeners. I'm telling you, like, I get 2 lead feedback things a day where she saved them thousands of dollars from refinancing the direct price costs. Vacation Club Loans, DVCResaleMarket.com. And today's show, we've got Marissa joining us for a resale market update. Hopefully they'll be coming in every month, the first Sunday of the month, to provide what went on last month. And then the other thing is tonight, we're bringing in 3 people from the podcast series. Marissa was on the Bibbidi Bobbidi Bougie in the Bungalows, along with Brian Reed and Kurt Stone. They'll be joining us in just a minute. And we'll be doing some follow-up from the Poly series. Also, some follow-up from last week on 2 items, the mobility partner change, Epcot Forever, and then the disturbing / fun that nobody got hurt we can talk about. That's the good news, is we don't think anybody got hurt, but the Skyliners deal. We talked about that last week as well, and they ran into some bumps this week. Marissa, let's go over to DVC Resale Market.
Yeah.
So what's going on in the month of September for right of first refusals?
So it's interesting. Right of first refusals has definitely dropped the month of September, and it's dropped pretty dramatically. Like if you look at August, we had 48 contracts bought back. In September, we only had 19, which is a pretty big decrease. A lot of people through like our chat and emails have gotten a lot of questions about like why that might be. I personally think, and this is just my own guess on this, but Disney's calendar year works in October to October basis. So my personal thought is that finance budgets out for the year. And by the time they hit September, they have a pretty good idea of where budget is. And they probably don't want to overspend for the remainder of the year. So I think September overall is probably a light row for buyback for Disney, possibly even October, because again, it's the beginning of their year. So they don't want to overspend for the entire year of buying back. So that's just kind of my personal philosophy on it.
Yeah, it sounds like they might not want to end the year and close out the books with a bunch of resale points on hand.
Right.
So they just didn't buy them back in September, and they could go in, the reverse could happen. They could catch up in October.
Right. They could make up for it. We saw like the biggest increase last year was December. So it kind of where they kind of ease into the year and then go crazy kind of in the first couple months because they know, okay, this is where our budget has landed. So it's my guesstimate around it, but it seemed to kind of fall into place if we look over this last month.
Perfect. Now, was it the usual suspects this time? Old Key West, Saratoga,
So it was super random. For the first time all year, they bought back 3 Grand Cals. So we haven't seen them buy Grand Cal all year. They bought back 3, and the range of buyback for Grand Cal was 180 to 185. So they're definitely back aggressive with that, I think, in terms of price point. They went ahead and bought back 2 Boardwalk, which is pretty normal. One Bay Lake, they typically have bought back more than that, what we've seen month over month. However, they bought it back at 143, which is pretty high buyback for them for price per point. And then they bought back 12 Old Key West. So that was their hot spot this month. They bought back one Saratoga and zero Animal Kingdom, which is
wow,
really crazy. Yeah.
That is really, really, really crazy. Okay, yes. Then. What do we see that do to the market prices? Has that changed the market yet? Or
so for market prices, we've seen them still. I mean, it takes a little while because our Rover report has not come out on our site yet. It's going to take that to kind of shift and change the market prices. But what I personally think in terms of buying and selling, if you're looking to buy, where you want to buy right now would be Grand Cal. Because Disney's showing that they're starting to buy that back, it's likely it's going to go on that upward swing. I think a lot of people, it hit the mid to low 200s per point last year. Mm-hmm. And so people were kind of easing off on Grand Cal purchases because they figured, you know what, the prices is going to dip back down. And they went down to the 180s per point. But I think people are waiting for it to go even lower because they saw it go from low 200s down to the 180s. So I think our market has been waiting for Grand Cal to say, okay, I'm going to wait till it goes down to 170, 160. Don't wait. I think Disney's buying it back and they're showing that they're buying it back at an aggressive price point. So right now we're in that sweet spot of you can still buy in with fairly little negotiation and get it right above Disney's right of first refusal. If you wait, we'll probably see that start to trend up.
Got it.
Okay. So that would be a top buy. The other top buy would be Polynesian. Right now, we have almost 20 reduced listings on Polynesian. So the market is pretty saturated. So if you're looking to buy in at a monorail property, this is the best time. We have sellers that are definitely willing to negotiate. So reduce prices on.
Hey.
Drop that out. This is real life. So Polynesian and Grand Cal would be like my top two picks. And then in addition to that, I would definitely go if you're on the like border of buying and those sweet contracts like a Saratoga Springs or Animal Kingdom, go for it. Since we've seen Disney's really lessened up on their right of first refusal buyback, go for it. Start to negotiate with those contracts. Grab them while you can. It looks like a lot of them are passing right of first refusal.
Yeah, I know we just finished that Polly show and all of us are huge Polly fans. I mean, that was evident from listening to the show.
Yes.
And so we'll start to pick that up and see what kind of questions people have on that coming up in a second and do a follow up from that. But if you were to sell a contract now, what's running short in your supply? What would be a good contract to start listing?
So actually, surprisingly enough, we only have two Vero Beach contracts in our listing, which is kind of crazy. I think a lot of people go, am I going to sell Vero Beach? It's a more specific market. But right now, it's very, very limited. So if you're looking to sell, there's going to be more demand than supply at the moment. So go ahead and get that listed while you can. Especially, again, that's one where the years are diminishing. So if you're not using it and you're looking to maybe transfer to a different resort, go ahead and get that sold. And then Grand Floridian, we're seeing, again, all-time highs with that resort. So before that starts to plateau out and we see a change in terms of pricing on that, if you're looking to sell Grand at a premium price, we have a great number of buyers in demand for that.
Sounds perfect. Just a couple of comments here as well that came in. Marianne says that pup has a strong opinion on buying Polly.
He does.
And then even comments that it's a very smart pup. So,
well, you know what?
I think we're going to leave
bring
the pup
her along.
In, right?
I'll have her be my mascot since I'm lacking any sort of like Disney fluff behind me.
There you go. There you go. Let's go ahead and bring in Brian and Kurt as well. And we'll, hey, Brian, welcome
What's
back
up?
To the show, buddy.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Hanging in there, man. So thank you for joining us on episode 38 of the Polly History. We got a lot of great comments on that.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And then I'm going to welcome back. Well, it'll be first time to the live, but welcome back to us, Mr. Kurt Stone from Geekin' on WDW. How you doing today, Kurt?
I'm doing great. Hi, guys.
You just like plussed up the whole microphone with some some animals, right?
Over here. Yeah, I got a little bit of Goofy, Mickey.
Lotso.
Lotso. Do you know this guy? Duffy.
Yes, Duffy.
Oh, I was going to say, I normally I see him with a hat and like a yellow stuff, some yellow accessories.
Is he still around Epcot?
He's not.
I don't think he has a meet and greet anymore.
He doesn't. He went back to Japan.
Yeah, he packed up and went over to Tokyo.
So see, I still got them.
That's really cool there. So anyways, guys, welcome back. And what I wanted to do is bring back today. I also wanted to give Alicia and Shannon a night off. Okay. Just so that we can start to rotate in. And I know here at the end of the month, the three of us gentlemen will be getting together down there for your geeking on WDW Grand Gathering of Geeks, right, Kurt?
Grand Geeking Gathering, the G3.
Yes. How many people do we got coming in for that?
Well, I know in the Facebook group, there's like 60 people. I think if we count family members, it's like 100.
Yeah, that's incredible for a podcast to come back in and have a grand gathering of 100 people. So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
We're going to do an official meetup on Sunday, October 27th, 11 a.m. at the Margarita booth at the Mexican Pavilion. So I hope we don't overrun them.
Well, you know, we'll just have we given them a heads up that we're coming?
No.
We might too.
A show I did recently with Len Testa, he tells a story of when Touring Plans, the unofficial guide, did one of their first meetups, and it was at the Mexican Pavilion. So maybe it'll be like deja vu, and 300 people will show up. We'll see.
Hey, that could be cool, right? We'll have to have Marista come over and join us as well, because you're local.
Dive on over.
That's it.
Anyways, I wanted to do a follow-up from the Poly Show and see if any of the listeners had any questions or wanted to interact with us, because that was probably the most successful series that I've ran on the podcast. The numbers are in on that, and it has just been doing really, really, really well. And thank you to everybody who's shared that and downloaded. I know some things that I heard from there was we didn't talk about Lilo's Playhouse closing. And I know my wife was really bummed. We made it into the very last season over at Sand Dollar Club. And when I looked at the show notes for that, I went, well, it's closed. Why do I want to talk about something that was here? Well, we got a few comments on that. And I thought that was, okay, we'll point out that Lilo's is closed. But there's space there. So hopefully they end up bringing something in and doing something cool with that.
Not my area of expertise anyway, Chad.
Yeah, I mean,
my kids are all grown up.
Mine either. I don't have any kids.
Yep. And Marissa, so you've got the toddler now, so.
Yeah, I mean, we use the date night service, but we have not used like the kids. But again, we're kind of the weird Disney people because we go for like a random one night. We're not there for the full week where we need the kids playhouse.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then the other comment that somebody pointed out was the studio bathrooms at Poly, that there's a separate tub and a separate shower. But Marissa, we were talking about this pre-show. At the Grand Flow, the tub is not a shower, correct?
Correct. And that's what I'm looking at our floor plans to figure out for sure. But there's something different about them where they split in the middle versus Polynesian is two totally separate. But I don't know if there's a shower in the studio tub combo at the Grand.
Right. That was the thing that we really liked at the Poly was that studio is two complete separate non-adjoining rooms.
Right.
They are walled off and separate. So you can go in there and close this and be completely separate. That's one of the things that I liked about that. And then over at Grand Flow, it looks like there's a slider divider wall in there.
Pocket door.
Yeah, pocket door. That's kind of it. Ian comments that according to that play area, that something Moana themed might be nice to go into that building.
That'd be super cute.
Yeah, that would be. And then, of course, no one can get enough of Stitch either.
They are working on the live action Stitch movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on the list.
Very cool. Marianne comments that throwing in a community hall over there would be nice. Yeah, that would be really cool. You can always dig a community hall.
That's true. They don't have one in Polynesian, right? But not like Bay Lake Tower. Yeah.
No, Bay Lake is the only one on the monorail that has one. Hmm. I don't recall anything over in the little tiny Grand Floridian building.
No.
As far as daycare, you know, my audience has talked about over at the Contemporary. I don't know if they're still doing that, but they had a place where you could drop the kids off and they had characters. And I'm trying to remember what it was called, but they really raved about that. Huh. I don't know if they're still doing it, though.
They closed most of the daycares down about 3 years ago.
Yeah. This was like a trial thing they were trying. It was with Woody, I think. those characters, the Toy Story characters. We could drop them off and go do a monorail loop. And yeah, a bunch of my audience did that and told me about it and said it was a great deal. So they get entertained. I think they fed them and that kind of thing, but they didn't want to leave when they got parents came to pick them up. So.
Yeah. I mean, our kids, well, my daughter really loved it and she was about 6 or 7 at the time. And my 4 or 5 year old son, we had to drop him off crying. And, but once we came back to pick him up, he didn't want to leave.
Yeah, I think they used the arcade there, too.
Yeah, the arcade, whatever they did, they roped him in, and he did not want to come back in and leave.
Yeah, Pixar theme, Marianne's talking about there. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a temporary thing, yeah.
Yeah, they did that test over at the monorail level at the Contemporary for the Pixar-themed one. That's closed. Now it's open back up again over at the Sand Dollar Club, but it's shorter hours. It's like 5:30 to 9, and it's a pirates themed one, and they take the kids out on a pontoon boat out on the lake
on Beach Club.
Yeah,
Beach Club. Yeah,
that's cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
Hopefully they keep something going there, and hopefully they keep it affordable and obtainable. I think Sand Dollar Club is the perfect location for that because you've got everybody coming into a World Showcase. I mean, that World Showcase is like an adult no kid paradise. So it was really nice to just be able to come over to Beach Club, drop the kid, go in there and have fun and that kind of fun stuff.
Or my favorite signature restaurant, the Flying Fish.
There you go. Right, across.
It's a great restaurant.
That's where I send people. The Flying Fish was a funny story for me because I was such this Disney expert. And I had a guy at work that went down and he never goes. He has a pretty big family and he comes back and he says, "Have you ever gone to the Flying Fish?" And I had been in that area so many times. I used to go to conferences, never ate there. And he's raving about the Flying Fish. And I'm like, "Yeah, buddy, whatever." And so I go, especially my daughter who's done the podcast with us. And it's turned out to be our favorite signature restaurant.
It's legit. You know, I like the steaks better there than I did over at Yachtsman. Yeah, I'll take the sides at Yachtsman, but that steak over at Flying Fish was pretty tasty.
Service is really good too, but yeah, I've always enjoyed it there.
You guys have any other questions on Polly? I know Dan made a comment here that I saw from a lot of people that he's hoping that there's more of these resort series on the way, and great job with the Polly ones. And there is, we're actually about halfway recorded through the Saratoga series. And I stopped recording on it because I realized, wait a minute, I want to talk with people that have stayed in the new resort rooms. Okay. I mean, what's the point of publishing a review and then in 2 months it's out of date? Once I can find people who have stayed in these new refurbished rooms, we'll finish up that series and start to get that thing published. And I'm looking forward to it because those Saratoga rooms, man, they are breathing whole new life into that resort. It's looking pretty incredible.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
I'm ashamed to say that's one of the two I haven't stayed at yet.
Really? You haven't been over there?
No, I haven't been over to Saratoga. And the worst one is Wilderness Lodge. I haven't stayed at.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to shame you again on that, Kurt. So
it's not really my fault. It's not really my fault. I have a boss that I have to listen to.
Hey, you're not alone. I haven't stayed there yet either, but I'm staying there in 3 weeks.
All right.
Or 4 weeks, I guess.
Nice. I was going to say, Brian, I've got points there. We'll figure something out.
I mean, it's just a quick drive for me. I mean,
Brandy makes this comment as well. The Polly series made her have add-on-itis. And I'm like, well, right over here. I guess it's over here. Marissa at DV's here.
Solution to add-on-itis.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have the built-in solution right there.
I don't know if we've talked about this with the Polly show, Chad, but I've had good luck with booking that, even though I'm a Bay Lake Tower owner. Is that normal? I mean, I think so.
And my philosophy is like, because it is almost all studios, there's only 20 bungalows. It has the most amount of studios of any of the monorail resorts. So for studio availability on the monorail, I think it's always going to have the most availability at the 7 month window compared to the other two.
Mm-hmm.
I found that to be true.
Yeah.
I'm not going in the peak times, but I've had good luck. I've stayed there 3 times.
I think that's the case as well, because you also have everybody who wants a 1 and 2 bedroom. They can't stay there. So there's no like I'm going to hold my home resort and then switch at 7 months. They just have to find something at 7 months. So I think that comes into play there. The only time I've ever really seen anything happen was like Run Disney weekends and like the first 2 weeks of December when everything is just not so crazy trying to get a place to stay. That's the times when I've seen Poly sell out. But other than that, I think it's a legitimate, valid option. I think it's the best buy out there right now. Because yep. if you go to rent it, the rental demand for that is just insane.
Brandy, actually, she's not asking a question there, but she says she's torn over what resort to add on to. So that's an interesting question to ponder. My wife has always talked about DVC to buy where you want to stay, talking about that 11-month window. Is that still true to you guys?
Yeah, I think more so. I think like that used to be a phrase that was like thrown out here and there. I think in the last 2 years, it's become like super important. And I mean, you look at Disney World as a whole, you look at all the add-ons of Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land and the things coming, it's just going to get busier. So I think it's more and more important. And I think having so many members that have bought into Alani as well, I think that plays a huge impact. And we're starting to feel that now in the last couple of years of needing that home resort priority where that 7 months is not quite what it used to be.
It's funny you say that because you start to think they're adding so many more rooms. I almost was starting to get the feeling that it would get a little easier to get 7 months, but
and we're I think not seeing that yet. Not for, I think with Alani, they just sold so much of that to their core East Coast member who's going to turn around and use it for Disney World. So mm-hmm. I think they're kind of making up for that now with the add-on of the newer resorts where it'll hopefully even out to where it should be. But I think at the moment right now, that 11-month priority has probably been like the most important it's ever been.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, because you really have three non-theme park resorts. You've got Hilton Head, Vero, and Alani. Let's face it, Orlando is the place to be. And so they're all trying to come back in. And how much of us are trying to go out to those resorts?
Not me. I haven't expanded out yet.
But the other thing I can tell you is I don't think it's a big deal from my perspective. I have to go in summer. I don't go in peak times, the low point seasons. I have to go in the second to the highest season. And I can find whatever I want at 7 months. And the other factor that I have is because I legitimately love and see something awesome in every single resort, I could find someplace great to stay no matter what. And I'm happy at Old Key West. I'm happy at Animal Kingdom. I'm happy at Wilderness Lodge.
And that's the key, I think, because if you're the person who says, hey, I want to stay at Polynesian and I'm going to be unhappy if I have to stay anywhere else, then buy the Polynesian. But if you're saying, hey, you know what? I love every resort. I'm happy wherever I stay. Then go for Saratoga, where you're going to get the most value for your money, the most economical to own, and switch it up each time. But know that you're going to be okay if you end up staying at your home resort. That's the biggest thing. Be happy with where you land.
Well, the other thing is if we see that we got to do a split stay, we're okay with it because we're able to split. Like we did in January, I was there 2 weeks, but we did two nights at the beach club because that's what we could get, I think. But that's nice because then you could spend some time at Epcot and Hollywood Studios. And then we had five nights, I believe it was, at the Polynesian. So
that's perfect.
But you think you take the best of it and say, hey, it's not that big a deal to transfer. So we get to try a little bit of both.
Get
some variety. Get some variety in your trip. So
yeah. So hopefully we helped you at least ration through some of your decisions there, Brandy.
If not, send me an email and we can go over it in more detail as well.
Oh, I struggled when I bought DVC. When we finally made the decision to do it, I was a lover of the beach club. And at the time, Bay Lake Tower was new, it was being sold. And my wife really loved that resort too. And we had never stayed at the Contemporary before. You know, it just came down to buying it new. And getting the bigger contract and, you know, you're still on the resort loop. I mean, being next to Magic Kingdom was not a bad thing. And just hop on the monorail and we're over at Epcot. So we've been happy with our purchase, but we've really been able to really try all of them except for Wilderness Lodge is the one.
Yeah. Well, we'll work on her. We'll work on her there. And Sam makes this comment as well here that she owns at Old Key West. And for the most sense, it made the most sense for her financially. She's just accepted the fact that every October she'll most likely be there for food and wine. And she's just said, hey, it's kind of nice to have that as my food and wine tradition.
I tell you, I can remember reading different discussion boards on Old Key West and everybody always raved about it. I kind of in the back of my mind thought it was like the old one, like the first one kind of thing. But we stayed there recently in the 2-bedroom, and oh boy, I really enjoyed it. We're going back in January, as a matter of fact.
Oh, it's probably up there on the top of my family's list. The kids all like it. They like it because they can sit in the bathtub and watch the TV on a seat. There's like a seat in the bathtub, and I'm like,
that's all any kid wants.
Right? I'm going, okay, if that's what floats your boat, guys. But I like it because the points stretch farther.
Right.
We can stretch points. I have more points to rent out if I choose to. More points to use later on like a guy's trip for Brian and I to run down. Okay. There's all kinds of great stuff. Hey, kids, yeah. Knock yourself out at Old Key West.
Yeah. Twist my arm on a guy's trip. That won't take much convincing.
Yeah. I'm telling
you. I'm the lucky one. I don't have to ask anybody's permission. I can just go whenever I want.
There you go. Right. There you go. But speaking of that, let's stick back to our agenda here. And the mobility partner program change that happened last week has a really quick update. And why Disney didn't just lead with this, we don't know. But if you go to their website now and go to their mobility page, you start to see that Scooterbug got listed as the official rental company. So everybody that all that hubbub last week that was out there was got settled with, hey, Disney's moving to an official partner on this to kind of ease the load on Bell Services. Instead of having 4 or 5 companies come in, we're going to go to one. And I looked at their prices. Their prices looked in line with everybody else. I think that kind of puts just a nice little bow on that story from last week. Amy makes a fun comment here as well. Please stop raving about Old Key West. It'll be harder to book.
Don't tell the secrets.
Yeah, we'll keep your secret there, Amy. And then the other story from last week, Epcot Forever launched. Curious as to what the people listening, if you guys watched the show. Marissa, did you go see it?
I did not.
Okay.
I've got a toddler, so doing like late night things. We haven't got a babysitter to go out. And if I mess up bedtime, it's a whole thing. So he's got to get a little older for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, sooner or later, you'll get dragged over to that park at night anyway. Absolutely. But what did you guys think of the video from Epcot Forever and your thoughts on Illuminations going away?
Are we being honest about it?
Yeah. I mean, we're honest, but we're polite in our disposition.
I don't know. I think that a lot of things have just fallen lately, hence why the corporate changes have just been made. And I think they rushed it. I mean, they should have just let Illuminations run until Harmonious comes. I mean, there were some parts. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I got teary-eyed when Walt started to talk. But everything else, I was just like, okay, why? It didn't give me the feels. Now, granted, I was watching it on my computer, but I wasn't as excited.
Got it. Kurt?
So I'm the one who will not watch anything before I go see it live. So my wife was posting it all over the place. She watches everything. If I'm lost when I get down there, she gives me a little tips on what to do and what to look for. But I refuse to look at anything on YouTube or like that before I go down. I'm going down in 3 weeks, so I'm ready for this. I mean, Illuminations, I'm always mixed about this. There's when things are going away. Most of the time, I'm ready. Except for the Norway Pavilion. I was not ready for Frozen to go in there. I'm still bitter.
You still want your Maelstrom, right?
I'm still bitter about Maelstrom.
Somebody posted today, it's been 5 years since it closed.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, can you believe that?
We still haven't moved on.
No, I haven't. Like I said, mostly I'm okay with new things coming in. And Illuminations is one of those. I always loved it, but that ball was getting a little old. So I'm ready for something new.
I really, really, really appreciated the tying in the various cultures, that theme of Epcot. So I'm going to miss that. I'm not going to lie. And I watched the video and yeah, there was the children singing One Little Spark in there. That was really cool. The kites, you know, I heard Lynn Testa do a summary this week on Resort Loop podcast. Him and Tim were talking and Lynn was saying that the video doesn't do the kites justice. You really have to see it in person. Kurt, you know, I know we'll be there Saturday, Sunday. I'm planning on going there Saturday night to check out the fireworks show and that show while I'm there.
Yeah,
but
I might be there Sunday night.
I was ready for a change. I just don't know that I'm ready to come back in. Sue brought up a really good point here. She goes, Illuminations was a story. Epcot Forever is a summary. I've kind of heard that as well.
That's good point.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'm curious about, what was, and I understand the tie, but every single piece of music was from an attraction. And then we end it with Whole New World from Aladdin. I don't know. I mean, it was perfect. It's a tie-in for how or what they're going to, but it did. I don't think it flowed having all of those iconic songs. Well, granted, Whole New World is iconic, but it's iconic from a film. But I know that's what Harmonious is going to be, where it's a celebration of Disney music. So maybe that's what they were doing, but I don't know. It just seemed a little strange. And I know I've read a lot of comments that people were pretty upset about Whole New World being the closing of the fireworks.
Yeah, I'm with you on there, because it gets into that whole discussion and debate of how many IPs do we bring into Epcot?
Right.
Is this a IP-based park, or is this centered around culture, technology, education, advancement, and the shift that's happening there? Remy, Frozen, now Guardians of the Galaxy are coming in here. So I see all of that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. I hear my audience always talking. They're purists when it comes to this, the edutainment, and they shock me with that. But maybe that's the type of people that we hang out with feel that way. Whereas the everyday person that goes, you know, they want to get more for the kids or
you know,
that kind of stuff.
So, yeah. And Amy makes this comment that she's with you. She's waiting to see Epcot Forever when she's in the park next week.
Yay, Amy. That's what I do. I don't like to cheat. I like to experience it live.
I'm usually the same way. I only did it because Disney Parks blog was doing a stream. And I was like, okay, well, at least it's going to be good quality. So I might as well watch it.
I thought Chad made you do it.
Oh, so. Chad can't make me do anything.
No. I can't make him do anything. But John here is with you as well. He didn't watch the webcast. He's waiting to be disappointed in person. Well, okay.
You know what I find with the new things, and I've heard some feedback from Millennium Falcon too, and I can remember when I rode or even did the new Fantasyland for the first time, ran Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, they kind of a little bit underwhelmed me at first. And then as I get used to it and get into the flow of it, I seem to enjoy it more the second, third time. And now, like, take Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I love it. I don't know if it's this expectations we have, or
do you think it's like a growth learning curve for you there, Kurt?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of listen to all the hype. I mean, I thought New Fantasyland was going to be like make the park twice as big, you know, and I was kind of underwhelmed when I first went in there. But you know, thinking back, reflecting back on it afterwards, I was thrilled with it, and I noticed how much time I was spending there. It really increased the time I was in the park. So like Toy Story opened, I kept my expectations down lower, knowing I don't do a lot of research ahead of time. I don't listen to a lot of the buzz, but just in my head, I wanted to keep it down, and I was pleased with it.
Okay. I mean, what were your guys' take on Toy Story Land? Brian?
Ladies first.
I love it. I just wish they would have found a way to have more shade. It's hot in that area, but I think it's awesome. And I think, because I'm seeing so much of Disney right now through a kid's eyes view, which for so many years I've seen it through my own and as a cast member. So to be able to see it from like a kid's eye view, it's super cool. Because we walk through and there's just this like massive Woody there. And I think any day you would walk by and be like, okay, there's Woody. But like to walk through with your son who's like, Mama, look. I think you have a totally different view on the setup of it. So they did a very good job with that kind of stuff. I just wish there was a little more shade.
Fair enough. Brian, Toy Story Land?
I had high expectations. I was crushed because I was expecting more. I agree, there should be more shade. And I'm a purist. Like, there's a statue of Woody. There shouldn't be a Woody meet and greet. Like, that's the only part or only land in any Disney park that has that. But I'm just a stickler for that kind of stuff. I mean, I love Slinky Dog. I think it's one of the best roller coasters on property now. But then with my background being in construction, and I see the stuff already like falling apart. And I was there on opening day and stuff was peeling or falling apart. And I'm like, did we rush this? Could we have waited a little longer and put better products, more time into the process I just think they're rushing everything right now.
Poor Slinky got his tail docked. I mean, come on now.
Has it returned yet, or is it still off?
I think it's back.
Okay.
So I think on the back, I think it's back now.
It reminds me of Toontown a little bit at Disneyland. And so you've seen kind of that through the years and how just the bright colors, and because there's no shade and it was a little more value engineered, you can see that and you can kind of see where Toy Story might end up in the future.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah. So hopefully they add some more to it, but I came in with the expectation of Cars Land. Okay. Yeah. Which nothing comes close to Cars Land. Okay, like not even anywhere, Galaxy's Edge, nothing. When you come in with that as a comparison, you're just going to be disappointed, because Cars Land is amazing. To your point, Marissa, and you look over and you see a little kid ask his mom, "Mommy, is this where they filmed the movie?" That's an immersive environment. Okay.
I mean, when I saw Cars Land the first time, I cried. And I mean, I'm a diehard Cars fan, so that's all I wanted to do was I walked in, it was an hour before closing, and I bawled like a baby because I was in Radiator Springs. So I'm glad we're not getting it, seeing how quickly they're turning lands at Walt Disney World right now, because then I would just be really upset, because they had said they were going to possibly do it, but it was going to be inside, and leave that over there, because that's the pinnacle of a land at a Disney park is Cars Land over at California Adventure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you guys more. Okay, see if anybody else has any. Marianne says that she loves Toy Story Land. The design is amazing, except for the shade.
Sue says that the tail's back.
It's good to know.
It's back. She wrote it Thursday. And then Holly agrees that she was totally expecting it to be more like Cars Land. Toy Story Land left me wanting more, although Slinky is her favorite. I'll have to agree with you on that one. The Incredicoaster, I think, is a little bit better coaster than that, but you can't take little tiny kids on Incredicoaster because it goes upside down. My kids did not like the harness. It was their first time with an over-the-neck harness, and they're like, what?
That's okay. More fun for the adults. I mean, we're allowed to have some adult-only things at a Disney park. That's why they have the Rider Swap program.
This is true.
To change the subject a little bit, or the adult things, what's going on with the barbecue at the American Pavilion at Epcot? Have you guys heard any updates yet?
I haven't.
Mm-mm. Oh, I sure wish it would open up in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be nice, right?
That was such a good announcement for me. I'm like, I'm all over barbecue and some beers over there. So that needed something like that.
Very much so. But speaking of that, right, Kurt, we're going to ride that gondola. In light of the other news, I don't care what happened there this week. The three of us will be there. Marissa, have you been on the gondola system yet?
No.
Okay.
I stood right there, but we didn't want to get in line.
Got it. Okay.
Was there a long line for it?
Like, you know, I just stay away from anything brand new at Disney, being local. I usually give it like a year. I know I'm bad. But I give it a year, and then I can enjoy it and not have to wait in line. So I'll probably ride in a year.
So you're definitely in on it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Guys, what are you thinking? Because I can tell you, I'm checking into Pop on the 25th. And if that Magical Express gets me there before that thing is shut down, I am like bypassing the room and going straight to the Skyliners. I am not waiting. I don't care about this news this week. I'm on it.
What are the hours for it? I haven't seen the hours yet.
Well, from what I've been told, it's going to follow the same bus schedule. So it's going to be like an hour past park closing.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm all in on it. Like, I can't wait.
I think it'd be a great content for my podcast if I got stuck and stranded on the gondola.
Could you put your podcast up there?
I'm all about recon and live streaming from the stranded. I got 3 hours.
Got it.
I think they got some good prizes for... Didn't they get a $100 gift card? They got a couple nights.
So let's go ahead and come back in and show what happened. And this just happened like late last night. What happened was something at the Riviera station, kind of some safety things went into a miss. And these cars ended up colliding into each other. The person who was in there used the word crash, but he said it really wasn't a crash. I was having some other online discussions with my friend Tom Voss over at Welcome Home Podcast. Love you, Tom. So I am not going to use the word crash. I'm going to downgrade it to the word collided in that photo. And then here you can see another one. And it was really that teal one that kind of came back in and hit everything. And people were stranded on there for like 2 hours plus. Well, Reedy Creek Fire Department had to come back in and help get some people out. It was a big, hairy ordeal mess. There was just all kinds of light ups in the forums and groups today on that. So
there was all sorts of stuff out there today.
I've got a couple of memes loaded as well. But after I confirmed, we don't think anybody seriously got hurt in this. I think it's okay to have some fun with it. But at the same point in time, I understand people are kind of on the fence with this. And I know Sue, who's watching, she made the comment that she wrote it this past week. It went down a few times. We had to take the boat back from Hollywood to Beach Club. Scott makes this comment here that he's giving the Skyliners about a year to let them work out all the bugs first. Jim makes this really comment that he had just convinced his wife to go on it. And then this happened. Right.
Yeah. My wife's a little, the thing she's crazy are frightened about are gators. So we don't want to park that thing over the water.
Well, have you seen the boat that they use if it is stopped over the water to get people off? It's it's a pontoon boat that it's got to be at least 3 or 4 stories tall.
Yeah, it's like a triple decker.
Yeah. Okay. And it pulls and it docks. It pulls right up to each gondola and it locks in place and allows you to walk down. And then they've got benches for you to buckle into.
Good. There you go. No worries.
So I think I'd rather be stuck over the water than on land, because in land, you've got to wait for each single fire truck bucket to get to you.
Yeah. Well, here, I mean, they're going to pull up the gondola then, and I guess they're going to have to move it on down. Who knows? Right. Yeah. It's kind of crazy there.
This is really surprising. I mean, this isn't the first system built by this company, right?
Right.
No, they've been doing this for eons. I mean, this is like what they do. It's like Doppelmayr or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And they build them all over the world. This is their jam. To your point, Brian. It's surprising. Yeah. So you look at it and go, they had to have multiple system failures in here for this to happen. And
it's a European company, and let's be honest, there are more safety checks in Europe than there are over here. So, I mean, they value engineer everything over there. And for it to have this kind of malfunction, something seriously had to go wrong with it, I think.
For them. And of all the places, Disney World.
I know.
Yeah, not good for your company.
Yeah, not good at all, right? Now, Kurt, are you guys are staying at Pop as well, right?
Yeah, Chad, the first part, we actually also are going to be staying at Caribbean Beach the second half of our trip. We'll be at Pop till I think Monday or Tuesday. My wife does this all the time. You know, she's a travel agent too. So she'll call me up at work and go, oh, look, they got this deal at, you know, so she's constantly making changes. But we're going to try from Caribbean Beach too.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Now, is she planning on going on it as well? Or?
Yeah. I'm surprised she's all in. I thought she'd be, you know, like Brian was saying, a little apprehensive going on it. But no, you know, when we went to Disney World for the very first time, she was never a thrill ride person. So I was really surprised. She's like, we're going to Disney World. We're paying all this money and I'm riding everything. So she's still the same way.
Hey, all right. All right.
You know? So gondola, even if they crash, she's going on it.
Yeah, I mean, Sue makes a pretty good comment here as well. She talks about her husband is mobility impaired. I have no idea how they would get him down, but she said they had to brace themselves coming into the station because it comes so fast. And then as a follow-up comment to that, Amy gets, she says, I don't know why they have a manual way to move the gondolas physically if the power is out. Or she gets why they don't have a manual way to move the gondolas physically if the power is out. She's no engineer, but wouldn't it be more practical than the Reedy Creek Fire Department taking out people from one at a time?
It would, but when power goes out, so I work in construction, and when the power goes out, those brakes are going to brace around that cable so it doesn't move anywhere, because with it being so windy, you don't want it moving back and forth, causing a rubbing situation. I'll call it rubbing instead of colliding, Chad.
Okay.
But then if it's more to a point of getting them off one at a time, if you're moving them to a location, to a station, what are you going to do with all the ones that are already sitting in the station? You can't push them. I mean, that's going to be a lot of people if you're manually pushing every single car. So this is probably the easiest and safest way to get people on and off. Off when there's a situation like this.
That is right, Brian. In a no power situation, they would come back in and have the brakes turned on. Okay. It's just a safety precaution.
Right.
Steven asked this question. Will we ever know the reason for this breakdown?
No.
Or this downtime, according to Disney PR. Okay.
No, they're never going to tell you.
No, no. I mean, somebody's going through the logs on it now and they're pointing fingers and probably blaming it everywhere through Sunday. Cause I mean, that happens in every corporation in America. Something happens and all the fingers start flying, right? You know, you. I get it.
People will lose their jobs over this. I have no doubt about that. But
yeah. So,
because if it's something internally, I mean, there's probably patents for whatever the system was. So that's another reason why they're not going to tell us what happened.
That could be there as well. Okay. Shannon asked this question, you know, how long do we think it'll be down? I don't know if they're thinking that time is money on this, if it's going to go through like another full testing cycle. There's all kinds of things that they could do, but they have to come back in and restore public confidence.
I could realistically see being down for a while. To the comment earlier that they've already been having issues, I mean, now that the company who manufactured it is there right now working on it, I could see them testing it over and over again to make sure it doesn't happen again.
I think it's going to be down for longer than we expect.
It's going to be disappointing, Chad, if we don't get to ride it.
3 weeks, man. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Come on.
Yeah.
Right? Don't make me have to schedule another trip, Disney. Shh. Don't tell them I said that. They'll make me schedule another trip.
We do anyway, but.
Well, Brandy makes this comment that she saw something tonight where they were testing it again. So testing it again is a really good scenario. Well, she says that they were moving tonight. That's always a great thing. Dan makes this comment that last weekend they wrote it three times and they wrote it last week and it stopped three times briefly while we were on it. It was definitely unnerving when we were swaying up there for a few minutes, wondering when we were going to start moving again. And what a PR nightmare for Disney. Yeah, that's kind of the unfortunate part of it. It's what can you say there, though? I mean, really, what can you say?
And hey, Chad, I guess the lines will be short when we go.
Yeah, I mean, the lines will be short. Okay. It's kind of sad, but at the same point in time, you kind of get the humor relief from this. I don't know if you guys saw some of the memes that were going around today. I found three of them. And again, once we confirm nobody got hurt, I think it's okay to laugh. But, you know, that's where we're going. So let me pull up some of these pictures again here. So you've had these two original pictures coming on here. And then somebody got really cute over at the gift shop and went with this meme that they recreated the scene. Okay. I thought that one was
clever.
Yeah. Incredibly fun. Okay. And then somebody else did a one that's based off the Haunted Mansion, you know, welcome foolish mortals to the Disney Skyliner. Kindly step all the way in and please consider this dismaying observation. This chamber has no windows and no doors, which offers you this chilling challenge to find a way out. And then you see in the picture, the rescue team kind of climbing up a line or going down a line, one of the two there. So I thought that was kind of fun.
Reedy Creek.
Yeah. And then apparently the other thing that we learned this week is that there's a mini tiny survival kit or emergency kit in there. In the were you guys reading anything about this as well?
Oh, yeah. All things that seem absolutely pointless, like pad and paper,
water,
pens and
crackers. And
pencils.
Yeah. Water, paper,
peanut butter.
And, yeah. And then I can't tell you how many funny comments I read today about the waste disposal bags that were in there.
Now, I missed that one until you told me about it a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody did this meme as well today for the gondolas that, you know, we need to establish a poo corner. Yeah. People are definitely having fun with the gondolas here.
That's good.
Definitely having fun with that. I think that's okay. You know, poke a little fun at Disney now that we know it, nobody's hurt. That's at least our theory in this at the time of broadcast.
Well, you know how you figure things out. You got to make mistakes.
True story.
Sue says that something's zip tied underneath the seat. That's got to be the little emergency packet or whatever it is.
I'll look for it when I'm on there. Make sure I know where it is.
Donna makes this comment. So I've heard from my source that there's a lot of motion. Someone who knows me well says I should not ride, confirms my nervousness. Mm-hmm. So of the people who have ridden, you know, help Donna out here. What do you think? Is it too much coming back and forth?
It's Walt Disney World's newest e-ticket attraction.
This is true.
And you don't have to pay to go on it.
Now, John brings up a really good question here, and I'm glad we have Marissa here to ask us this one. Do we think this will make Riviera less desirable? And can DVC really use this as a premium resort feature now? Marissa, if you were back selling directly,
yes. Which,
how would you guys be handling this?
Yeah, so that, I mean, it's a tough question. Will it make it less desirable? Because I think just on the resale side, really quickly with that, I've had so many members tell me they think they might add on, but they're waiting to see how the system goes. So I think so many people are just holding their breath on the Skyliner to see how effective is it going to be before they make that decision. Now, on the direct side, I'm glad I'm working resale right now.
No kidding.
Not something I'd really want to have to deal with, but I think that's going to be a tough one to overcome, just because it's primarily why people are buying into that location. There's a lot of things mm-hmm. that you have to consider with buying into Riviera. And one of the nice benefits, and I think probably one of the biggest perks of buying in there, is going to be the Skyliner. So seeing how efficient and effective that's going to be is going to have, I think it will have some direct correlation. Now, it is a slower time for sales anyway, so I wouldn't go ahead and say, oh, that's the reason why. Usually this is one of their slowest seasons through the year. So I don't think that's going to be the ultimate reason, but it will be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. I mean, they called this a downtime. Okay. Of the gondola system. And I see the Riviera sales as also having some downtime as a result of this.
Well, it would be like selling Polynesian with the monorail not working. It's going to be definitely the elephant in the room.
It really is. But at least with the monorail, it's a tried and true platform. Okay. Now you could get stuck up there, but you're not worried stuck because you're perched on a concrete beam. Okay. You're not dangling from a wire.
It's true. Hey, Mark asked, he mentions he was trapped on the monorail. Have you guys ever been stuck on a ride?
Yeah. He goes, I was trapped on the monorail once for about 10 minutes. It started moving again and then stopped for 30 minutes, but it was over 20 years ago.
I was stuck on Tower of Terror for a long time.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't think that's a ride I'd want to be trapped on.
I know. All the rides. It was, luckily, it was like when we were in the inside chamber areas.
Oh.
But there was like some creepy stuff around us. So we were stuck for a long time. It was interesting.
I got stuck on the Monsters Incorporated ride at Disneyland. And it was really weird, because they had us get off the ride vehicles, close our eyes, hold hands with the person in front of us, and walk back the way we came so we couldn't see the rest of the ride. I'm like, this is my once in a lifetime trip to Disneyland. This was years ago, but I'm like, I want to see the rest of the ride.
Did you open your eyes?
No, because they had cast members walking with like every third person to make sure your eyes were closed. I was like, come on.
I was shipwrecked on Pirates of the Caribbean and had to be rescued with cast members in waiter's boots. Yeah. My we were right in front of Captain Jack's stash. So the good thing was my daughter had a knee injury at the time. So they actually had the fireman come and get a plank so she could come across. I was able to step over, and a friend that Holly we were with, but me and Holly got great pictures in front of the whole trophy, you know, with all the jewels and the loot with Captain Jack. So we have great close-ups there.
That's really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
They promised us, Mickey bars and a drink or something, but I never got mine because it took us a while. We were like the last ones to get out of there, but yeah, we had to get rescued off the pirates. And I just did a show I released where some, my guests on the show were rescued from Spaceship Earth at the very top. And they said,
really?
They walked all the way down. They said it's a really long walk, and it was kind of cool with the lights on. So I thought that was a neat rescue.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. Gregory has this really cool comment here. He goes, you know, LOL, one glitch, albeit a long one, isn't exactly a death knell. That's kind of my take on it, Gregory, which is why I'm saying if it's up and running when I get there in 3 weeks, I'm on it. Even if it breaks down every week between now and then, if it's working, I'm trying it out. I have faith in the engineers and what have you that goes on there.
Oh, yeah, you do.
They got to put some time behind it.
So now you've seen the worst.
I think. Yeah, let's hope we've seen the worst. Okay. Right. Let's hope we have. And, you know, Alicia comments that she was stuck on the Yeti at the top where the Yeti roars. Mm. And this was her daughter's first ride. But it was super cool walking down the stairways inside. Susanna also says, Gregory, she agrees. Brandy got stuck in Splash. Julie was stuck. Her daughter was stuck in Flight of Passage. That one would be a little bit odd because you're just kind of stuck at a theater seat. Back to our comments and discussion on buying at the Riviera. Richard said he didn't buy because of the Skyliner. He bought because of the resort. And he looks at the Skyliner as a bonus. And it is a very beautiful resort. Everybody that I have talked to that has worked on the resort or snuck inside have just said that this thing is going to be extremely well done and extremely nice. And I'm looking forward to staying there in August. I already have a room booked.
What's the cost per point there?
$188 right now.
You got to come up to $185 before they start clicking in the incentives as well. Right. So that was a little bit higher than normal because they were doing them at $160 or $175. We'll start to see some $185s out there on the market.
I'm not going to tell you what I bought my contract at.
Yeah, don't share that.
Yeah, everybody will hate you. And yeah. Yeah, you got in right before it started to skyrocket. But
true.
Yep.
Bay Lake Tower.
And he bought in direct too. He
bought in right in the beginning of Bay Lake Tower. Don't tell anyone.
I'm not gonna tell.
I'm just gonna make him cry.
I think Chad knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, listen to episode 12 that I was on if you want to find out.
I think I paid more for my Bay Lake after it was 7 years old, Kurt, on resale through, you know, Marissa and Nick in the DVC resale market. I bought three contracts through them. All three of them were more than what you paid. Resale 7 years later.
Good to know.
Resale now is way more than what you bought it for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But the thing at the direct price of $225, $245, then it makes you feel really good about your purchase.
It does. It does, which is why I like doing at the beginning of this show, doing a market recap for what's going on with prices, because like Sue's going to make us all mad here going, she bought in a 2002 at Beach Club for $89 a point plus got developer points, 20 some odd years of usage and can darn near double her money. That's just crazy. Brandy asked what resorts do I own at? And right now I'm holding contracts at Bay Lake, Beach Club, Saratoga, Copper Creek, Poly, and Grand Cal. That's likely to change, though.
So which ones don't you own at is really the question to ask.
What's that?
I said, which ones don't you own at is really the question to ask.
Yeah, at one point in time, Animal Kingdom was in there, and it was half of them. But then, you know, you guys sold my Animal Kingdom contract for me in like 8 days at a really good price.
Can't beat it.
Can't beat that at all. Let's come in and start to wrap up the show because we're at about our hour mark or slightly over, and that's where I like to kind of wrap these things up at as well. Kurt, let's start with you. How can people follow up with you after today's show?
Wow. Well, I'm the host of the Geekin' on WW podcast. So find me on, search your local podcast. What is it? iTunes? That's probably the best place. You can go to the website, geekinonww.com. But yeah, search. There you go. Chad's got it there. If you search for that, see, you know what? You search for Disney World and you'll see my podcast. It looks like this with the gear.
Yeah, there you go, right? I should have thrown up a logo as well. The other thing that I thought was funny was I started searching for like food, thinking I would get holistic, like a podcast on like healthy eating and that kind of thing. And like on page 2 of the iTunes results, here's Kurt's podcast on Geeking on WDW. And I'm going, I know you guys were hashtag food motivated, but you're ranking on iTunes in food, Kurt. Okay.
We're ranking really high on iTunes. I don't know what we're doing. We must be doing something right, Chad. But yeah, we talk a lot about food. So they must be, maybe there's some kind of algorithm that listens into your show and like an hour of our show is food.
You fall into that category.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, Kurt Stone, geeking on WDW, great friend of mine, great show, highly recommend him. And Brian, let's go to you next.
You guys can find me on a couple different places. So my podcast is the Main Street Chronicles, which is a new style Disney history show. It's a half theater show, like a retro radio show. And then the second half talks about the actual historical things that we discussed in the story that we have been telling. We actually are launching episode 4 in 2 hours. So we are brand new. I've been in the Disney community for a while. And then in January, we're releasing a new show. It's a mom's panel show. I won't tell you guys too much about it because we're going to start teasing it in November. But you can also find me on the Imagination Radio Network. That's my podcast radio network. All of it's on Facebook. We're on the web. And we are looking to do lots of great things here in the Disney community. Thanks to Chad. He literally kicked me in the butt to launch the show because we recorded this Polly show, what, 7 months ago? And he's like, you got to have your show out. You got to have your show out. And so that's why we launched when we did, because we were not ready. And so, Chad, thanks again for kicking me in the pants to get it going.
Yeah. And it's a great show. It's really like unique and refreshing. Because
it's been a lot of work.
Yeah, there's other Disney history shows that are out there, but it's kind of the two bros shooting the mic, retelling the story. And you guys used voice actors to come back in and recreate the story.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more like old timey radio from the 50s kind of a deal. And it's all Disney themed. And he will weave in all kinds of incredible things and artifacts all around Walt Disney World. Great show. Love it. Can't wait for to the next episode, Brian.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep. And then Marissa.
Yeah. So you can find us at dvcresalemarket.com. And if you have any questions on buying or selling or any DVC questions at all, you can email me directly. And it's just my name, Marissa, 1R2S's at dvcresalemarket.com.
Yep. And I can't say enough great things about the people over at DVC Resale Market. I have bought through them, sold through them, met them in the parks and hung out with them multiple times. I'm telling you, exceptionally great people. When they tell you you can still get the Disney experience, Marissa's a former direct guide and all of your coworkers are as well, correct?
We are. So there's 11 agents here and we all used to work for Disney and we all used to work as direct DVC guides for DVC.
Yeah. So the whole pitch behind these guys is you can still get that same Disney level experience, but not have to pay Disney prices, and they can save you guys a boatload of money. I am hashtag dollar orientated in my dealings, okay? And they will help you save a ton of cash. I can't recommend them enough. And thank you guys so much. And thanks everybody for joining the show tonight. And we will see you next week. Have a great night, everybody.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.